From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's December 15th, 2025. On today's show, flood recovery efforts continue across western and north central Washington, as well as parts of North Idaho. And near Oroville, a defunct dam on the Similkameen River is inching closer to removal. Plus, the Spokane Police Department has a much higher rate of solving major crimes than other departments around the state. SPR's Eliza Billingham looks into why. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Washington state officials estimate that more than 100,000 people were directly affected by last week's record floods. And that's double the amount of property owners who have flood insurance. Aaron Van Tile is with the State Insurance Commissioner's Office. He says property owners are only likely to get coverage if they have specific flood insurance policies that aren't usually included in more typical homeowners' insurances.
So I think there's a tendency for people to think that, you know, if they get flooded, maybe it'll only be once. Is insurance really that important? But we're seeing more and more bigger events like this. And so, yeah, it is important. And I feel terrible for people out there right now that don't have it, that need it.
FEMA has approved Governor Bob Ferguson's request for emergency assistance and is helping with things like clearing roads and repairing infrastructure. Officials still need to assess damage from the floods statewide, which could take months before asking the federal government for financial assistance. Firefighters from Spokane and Spokane Valley continue to help with recovery efforts in western Washington. The Regional Water Rescue Team was deployed late last week to assist Snohomish County residents who need help evacuating flooded neighborhoods. The Spokane Fire Department says the team will stay as long as its assistance is needed. Flooding and landslides have left communities along Upper Lake Chelan dealing with major damage. This comes nearly a year after wildfire weakened hillsides in the area. Northwest Public Broadcasting's Murrow News Fellow Renee Diaz reports.
Across Washington state, floods and landslides are destroying roads and flooding homes due to an atmospheric river. Some residents in one remote town have been completely cut off. Stehekin in Chelan County is always only accessible by boat, but now some can't get from their homes to the boat launch. That's left them with no power, no access to fresh water, and limited supplies. Here's Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison.
It's in disarray. I mean, everything we forecasted last year at the end of the Pioneer Fire, the destabilization of hillsides has come to fruition, that we have mudslides coming down, the road's been compromised, the landing's been compromised, the water treatment plant there is gone.
Jason Rainfield with Chelan County Emergency Management says mudslides still remain a concern.
There's probably four households with about eight people right now isolated that they can't move anywhere outside of their properties. Their concern right now is fuel for their generators.
Most residents are sheltering in place. The Chelan County Sheriff's Office is working to deliver supplies to residents. I'm Renee Diaz reporting.
Officials say areas in other parts of the state that recently burned are also at risk of mudslides during rainfall. The Red Cross has opened an evacuation shelter at Christ Church in Kashmir. There's also an evacuation area for large animals at Kashmir's fairgrounds. After last week's atmospheric rivers dumped rain into the Coeur d'Alene River, flooding and hazardous conditions have closed several roads in North Idaho. East Spring Creek Road in Bonner County is closed in both directions near State Highway 200, and in Shoshone County, downed trees, rocks, and flood debris completely blocked Bumblebee Road at mile marker 4. Roads like Riverview Drive, Elk Prairie Road, and Old River Road also remain closed. You can find an up-to-date list of road closures on the Shoshone County Sheriff's Office Facebook page or at 511.idaho.gov. Climate scientists say last week's flooding offers a sneak peek into a warmer future. Two atmospheric rivers in a row pummeled the Northwest, and another one is on the way. Those ocean-crossing storms are expected to come more frequently and with more rain because of global warming. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
Warmer air can hold and dump more moisture. A warmer planet means more frequent and more intense atmospheric rivers hitting the Northwest. Scientists say it's possible to limit the damage those storms do by leaving more land in an unpaved, sponge-like state to soak up rainfall.
anything that can help absorb and slow down and spread out the water before it overwhelms our stormwater systems and causes flooding.
Mead Crosby is senior scientist at the University of Washington's Climate Impacts Group. She says such solutions can work if humans can end the fossil fuel pollution that keeps making the planet hotter and stormier. I'm John Ryan reporting.
After decades of sitting unused, a dam in north central Washington is creeping closer to removal. A conservation nonprofit and the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation have been studying how possible it is to take down Enlow Dam near Oroville.
Spoiler alert, it is feasible to remove Enlow Dam.
Chris Fisher is a fisheries biologist with the Colville Tribes. He says agencies at all levels agree removing the dam is a good thing. It doesn't produce power, and it blocks waterways that are cold enough for migrating salmon.
By removing Enlow Dam, that will open up or make accessible 1,520 miles of habitat. Just to put that in perspective, that would be like driving from Spokane to Seattle 5.5 times.
But it's not quite so easy as just taking out the dam.
The issue is the 560,000 cubic yards of sediment behind the dam and the arsenic concentrations.
That arsenic likely came from mining camps in the area. Fisher says the study primarily looked at dredging the parts of the sediment with the highest arsenic concentrations, or allowing that sediment to wash downstream once the dam is removed. Researchers will present the feasibility study's official findings to the Okanagan County Public Utilities District next month. After that, Fisher says planning can begin in earnest, with the cost estimate coming in the spring. Several North Idaho projects are getting money from the state through a new wildfire resilience effort. Inland Power and Light Company's new funding will go toward installing weather stations that monitor wildfire conditions and reduce fuel loads in Bonner County. Across Kootenai, Bonner, and Boundary counties, Northern Lights Incorporated will get funds to conduct drone analysis of vegetation and fuel, as well as to create a daily tool to monitor fire conditions. And Kootenai Electric Cooperative will use its state money to update its grid control technology. These and 5 other projects across the state will begin next year, with the work scheduled to last through late 2027. Washington State University officially has a new head football coach. WSU announced Friday it was hiring Kirby Moore. The former Boise State wide receiver grew up in eastern Washington and most recently worked as offensive coordinator at University of Missouri. Moore landed in Pullman yesterday, and the school says it will host a press conference tomorrow to properly introduce him. If someone gets killed in Spokane, chances are really high that police will find the person responsible. SPR's Eliza Billingham explores why Spokane's clearance rate for major crimes is so much higher than in the rest of the state.
There have been 11 homicides in Spokane so far this year. All of them have been cleared. That is, a suspect has been charged or a case is deemed self-defense. Spokane typically has a clearance rate between 90 and 100%, which is roughly double the state and the country's clearance rate. Lieutenant Nate Spearing is with SPD's Major Crimes Unit.
We're very fortunate here, you know, with our regional partners and our in-house capabilities. If I were to point to one reason things go well, it's those capabilities and it's the drive of the people that work here.
Spearing says that most homicides in Spokane happen between people who know each other. Tracing relationships can make finding the suspect more straightforward. One thing is different, though, this year. There have been no domestic violence-related homicides in 2025. Last year, there were 7. Spearing says he's not sure how to credit the drop, but he's glad for it. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Monica Nicholsberg, Renee Diaz, John Ryan, Eliza Billingham, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also your host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.